Still in Sefer Shmuel, but I wanted to do a sort of a self-contained shir that wasn't part of a mahalach, it wasn't part of a 5 or 6, whatever it is. Takes, you know, start a new topic, start and stop. And so for tonight, I put together a sort of an analysis or a review of a detail. Take it one prat, but it's a window into a very, very, very large conversation. We'll touch on it. We'll explore it. We'll begin it. We'll see how far we get, and it'll give you some interesting insights into a combination between Tanakh, philosophy, theology, kind of a little bit of everything. So I was a little bit behind schedule, so these source pages are not quite finished. They don't have source numbers, they don't have a title and a heading and whatever you have, but there's a lot of psukim on this what did I want to do? If we go back to Tfilat Chana, which is of course the centerpiece of this whole discussion in Perek Aleph and Perek Bet.
You had mentioned this a while ago, but you talked about we did Shimshon, that she invented this name.
Right. So you have, it's actually before Tfilat Chana, it's in Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. ותדעו נדר ותאמר השם צבאות אם ראות תראה בעוני אמתך וזכרתני ולא תשכח את אמתך ונתת לאמתך זרע אנשים ונתתיו להשם כהן מחייו ומורה לא יעלה הראשו. So we spent a good deal of time talking about the nature of her nether. What is it that she wanted? She wanted a child, she wanted to make him a nazir, she wanted to carry over the legacy of Shimshon. We talked about it at one point or another. But we briefly mentioned also that she starts this tefillah with the phrase Hashem Tzvaot Imra'ot, etc. What is the phrase Hashem Tzvaot? Which typically gets translated as God of Hosts. What's a host? What's a host?
It's a whole big group of people.
It's a big group of people. Host is a big group of people, like an army. Not an accident that an army is called a... in Hebrew.
Tzava.
Is it tzava? Tzvaot is a plural of tzava. And the Gemara comments, the sources aren't numbered, so you'll have to bear with me. Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph, makes the following observation. From the day the world was created, there was no human being who ever called God Tzvaot. Till Chana came along and it did so. What did she mean by it? Amra Chana lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Mikol Tzivei Tzvaot Shebarata Be'olamecha Kashe Be'enecha Shetiten Li Ben Echad. You have hundreds and thousands and millions of people in the world. I can't have one. So, in the context of Chana's tefillah for a child, the Gemara contextualizes the notion that she innovates this name of God. That in itself is an interesting idea, that she innovates a new name for Hashem. That's what are we saying? That we're talking about a name, most people I would say, when they refer to God as with this name, use the same kinui that we would do with when we talk about the Elokim. We use a kuf instead of a hey, so they say tzvakot instead of tzvaot, right? Because there is a sense that this name is Kodesh. And in fact, we'll see in the Gemara in Shavuos that there's a machloket whether the name is Kodesh. We have no other. I don't think there's another name of Hashem for which there's a machloket whether it's Kodesh in a global sense. Sometimes in the context of a story, there's a discussion whether a shame of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is Kodesh or Chol in its context. But a machloket, a wholesale machloket over whether or not a name is Kodesh or Chol, I don't think we have another example. If you turn the page over for a moment, give you a glance ahead to in where it says part 4, Hashem Tzvachot. You see it? Hashem Tzvachot. It's a left-hand column on the second side. It says it's a Gemara in Shavuos, which talks about various letters of names of Hashem. Shin Dalet Yud, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Which parts of the name of Hashem can be erased and which can't? So the Gemara says, Tzadik Bet of Tzvaot Hareze Nimchak. The Tzadik Bet of Tzvaot can be erased, but not the Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tzvaot Kula Nimchak. You can erase the whole name. Because when it says Hashem Tzvaot, it doesn't mean God, a name of God. It means the God of Israel. Mm-hmm. Hashem of hosts. The host referring to Bnei Yisrael. We'll see that in a moment. And therefore, it's Hashem, as it says, the Tzivotai, my host, my army, is Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem Tzvaot means God of Bnei Yisrael. Elokei Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Ein Halacha, Ki Rabbi Yossi, we don't pass in that way, we say it's Kodesh. So we have a machlok, a fascinating machlok in the Gemara, whether or not the word Tzvot is Kodesh. It's a remarkable concept. And if you read Tanakh, we would have assumed that this name of Hashem Tzvot, is ubiquitous. We hear it all the time because we read the Nevuot of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu as Haftorahs throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu typically used the word Shem Tzvaot as a reference to God consistently. Koma Shem Tzvaot. It's a phrase that appears in Yirmiyahu umpteen times. It's a phrase that appears in Yeshayahu many times. What's interesting, FYI, and not for now really, but just process it in the back of your minds, that in all of Sefer Yechezkel, the name Tzvaot as a kinui to Hashem does not appear once. Interesting. So whereas we would have assumed that it's ubiquitous, it's everywhere in Tanakh, evidently, that's not the case. Evidently, it has a particular meaning and a particular focus because Yeshayahu uses it, Yirmiyahu uses it, Yechezkel chooses not to use it. So that means that it's not arbitrary. It's not just like a name like Hashem or Elohim or Kel Shekai. It has a meaning that needs to be explored. And this is an astounding statement, says the Gemara, that the first human being to call God Hashem Tzvaot is Chana. She invents the term. It's not like there's a Masoret Chazal or there's a Torah Shebal Peh or there's... She invents the name. Now, once she does that, then what we find is that in Sefer Shmuel, from Sefer Shmuel and on, the phrase Hashem Tzvaot as a reference to God is indeed ubiquitous. In other words, that once she coins this phrase, which the first time it's used is in Perek Aleph, in Sefer Shmuel it's used all the time. And what I think Chazal were identifying was the fact that this name for the first time appears in Sefer Shmuel, and the first time we find it is in Chana. So whether or not historically it was already being used by others and the first reference happens to be here, but it's a contemporary name, or she in fact coined it, either way, one of the questions that I wanted to explore this evening with you was, what is the etymology of this name of God? Where does it come from? Why did Chazal suggest that, in fact, it was invented? How do you invent a new name for Hashem? How do you do that? Shemot Kodesh all appear in Chumash. Hashem, Elohim, Aleph, Zalud, Nun, Yud, Adnut, Kel Shakai, those are all names that appear in Chumash. The only name that has Kedusha that doesn't appear in Chumash because it hasn't been invented is this one, and it's invented by Chana, says the Gemara. So that's really what I wanted to kind of begin to explore with you this evening, and we could do a lot of flipping of pages in Tanakh, but I thought it might be a little easier if I prepared much of the many of the sources. There may be others that we'll flip to, but if I put it together in some sort of organized fashion in on the source page, it would be easier to kind of get a handle on it. So certainly in Sefer Shmuel, and I gave you a bunch of references, I think there are more, but certainly a significant number of references in Sefer Shmuel, you see that it's used throughout the Sefer in various contexts. So just below the Gemara that we read, Gemara Brachos, is the first reference, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, which we just showed you. That's Chana's declaration, Vatomer Hashem Tzvaot Im Ra'ot Tireh V'chulei. You with me? Mm-hmm. Now, in Perek Dalid, in the context of the Aron out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which they took from Shiloh into the battle with the Plishtim, Vayishlach Ha'am Shiloh, Vayis'umisham et Aron Brit Hashem Tzvaot Yoshev HaKruvim. That's a very formal name. The Aron, which is the Aron of the Brit of Hashem. But the Brit of Hashem Tzvaot Yoshev HaKruvim. The reference for Yoshev HaKruvim is the notion that this is the Kruvim sit atop the Aron. When we get to Perek Dalet, we'll see there's a whole discussion as to whether or not there was already or always some kind of Aron that they took into every battle. And so the reference here is to a unique Aron, namely the one that sat typically in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and that was never ever moved out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's Machloket Rishonim, whether they took it into every battle or only this one. Hesham Shnei Ebenei Eliya Im Aron Brit Elokim Chofni Ufinchas. But the reference to the Aron as the Aron Brit Hashem Tzvaot Yishev HaKuvim also indicates that this is now a more formal title. It has a more formal application to the name of God, God of hosts of the upon the who dwells amongst the Kruvim, who sits upon the Kruvim. Shmuel Aleph Perek Tetvav is the story of Amalek. In Shmuel's declaration to Shaul, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvaot, Pakarati Et Asher Asa Amalek LiYisrael Asher Sam Lo Baderech Balatom Mitzvayim. And Shaul says to Shmuel says to Shaul, I have, in the name of God, Komar Hashem Tzvaot, I say Hashem Tzvaot, I have judged Amalek for what they've done to Israel, and now begins the campaign against Amalek. That entire campaign against Amalek is introduced with the phrase, Komar Hashem Tzvaot. Similarly, David HaMelech, I mean, these are just references throughout the Sefer, David HaMelech, in Perek Zayin, Vayomer David, it's actually El HaPlishti Ataba. This is before he's David HaMelech. This is when he's still David. Nasek Kelav Shel Shaul HaMelech. He's Shaul's assistant. Ataba Elai Becherev Vechanit Vechidon. You come to me, says David to Goliath. You come with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. Vanochi Ba Elecha B'Shem. Hashem Tzvaot Elohei Ma'archot Yisrael. I come to you in the name of God of hosts, God of the legions of Israel, Asher Chedachta, whom you have blasphemed. ויאמר וילך דוד הלוך וגדו והשם אלוקי צבאות עמו. פרק ה', נשמעו בית. השם אלוקי צבאות עמו. God, Hashem, God of hosts, was with him. Or פרק ו', ויקום וילך דוד וכל העם אשר איתו מבעלי יהודה לעלות משם את ארון האלוקים. And David goes to bring the Aron from Kiryat Yearim to Yerushalayim. Ashenikra Shem, Shem, Hashem Tzvaot Yoshev Akruvim Alav. With the Aron Elokim, upon which was called Shem Hashem Tzvaot Yoshev Akruvim Alav, God's name upon it. And other examples of Ivarecha Ta'am B'Shem Hashem Tzvaot, David HaMalach blesses the people in the name of Hashem of hosts. Perek Zayin, Kom HaKotomar LaAvdi David, Kom HaShem Tzvaot, Ani Lekachticha Min HaNaveh, Me'achar Ratzon Liot Nagid Alami Yisrael, Natan HaNavi, when he responds to David's request to build the Beit HaMikdash, says, Kom HaShem Tzvaot, I took you from a shepherd, I made you king of Israel. And on and on. Sefer Shmuel is replete with the reference to God as Hashem Tzvaot. Perek Zayin, later in the parak as well, Vayigdal Shimcha Adolam Lemor Hashem Tzvaot Elokim Al Yisrael Ubeit Avdacha David Yenachon Lefanecha Ki Ata Hashem Tzvaot Elokei Yisrael Galita Tozen Avdach. On and on and on. In other words, I venture to say that it seems that was a very common, very applicable, very not unusual way of referring to God. Can't say casual, because can't say casual about God, but not unusual way to refer to the Rebbeinu Shlalem as Hashem Tzvaot, or Hashem Elokei Tzvaot, or Hashem Elokei Tzvaot Yosheva Kruvim, or Hashem Elokei Tzvaot, or Hashem Tzvaot Elokei Ma'achot Yisrael, all different variations on the same theme. So at some point or another, we have to sit back and ask ourselves, how is it that a name of Hashem that is so ubiquitous, so commonplace, so referenced by everybody, by the Navi, by the Melech, by Chana, by the ordinary individual on the street, and yet, prior to Sefer Shmuel, this as a name of God doesn't appear. And I think that's what was intriguing Chazal when they came and said that this name was invented by Chana. That's the question for this evening. What is the significance of the name Hashem Tzvaot? Alright, so before we do that, we have to do this step by step. So my thought was, let's start from the word Tzva or Tzvaot and see in how many different contexts it appears in Tanakh, in the different mechanisms by which it is used, how does it, what does it mean, and from that perhaps we can build some kind of theory or theology around the significance of the name Hashem Tzvaot. Every name of Hashem has some significant meaning. Typically we often refer to the names of Hashem and Elokim, Yudke Vavke and Elokim, as names that refer to either Midat HaDin or Midat HaRachamim. Right? That's very famously described by the Ramban a few places in Chumash. As Api Kabbalah, there's this notion that Hashem, Yudke Vavke, is a name of God that appears when we're talking about Midat HaRachamim, Hashem's attribute of Rachamim expressed, whereas Elokim, which is a more God of nature, if you will, God who hides in nature, God who is in the power, the El, the word El means power, that's why it's also used for a judge, authority, that sense of power and authority, or natural God, the God of creator of the world, would be a God of Din, because nature doesn't know from compassion. Nature is absolute rules and absolute laws, and therefore God of creation, or God of nature, is a God of Din. Hashem and Elokim, Kel Shekai, has other meanings. What do we do with this name, Hashem Tzvaot, and what it means? That's the challenge for this evening. So where do we start from? start from the very first place the word tzava appears in Chumash, because typically that's how you start with an understanding of a word. Look for its original source. And what we find is that in its original application, it has absolutely nothing to do with God. If the word appears in Chumash, in Sefer Bereshit, Perek Bet, Vayechulu Hashamayim Ve'aretz, V'chol Tzva'am. Vayechal Elokim Ve'yom Hashvim Melachto Asher Asav, etc., etc. We say it every Friday night in Kiddush. Hayere Vayevoke Yom Hashishi, Vayechulu Hashamayim Ve'aretz, V'chol Tzva'am. What is the word Tzva'am referring to in this phrase? We say it every Friday night in Kiddush.
Everything on the earth, all the living things that are on the earth.
All the living things that are on the earth. Okay?
Did I mean the Shemaim are?
And Shemaim.
And Shemaim.
Occupants.
Right? And Shemaim.
Right.
So they're occupants. There are people, there are animals and people and everything that lives there.
Animals, peoples, and everything that lives here. What about things that don't live here? What about things that are inanimate and don't live at all? Or things that are like in the heavens, like stars and sun and moon and things like that. Are they included?
Yeah.
We're talking about a summation of the story of creation. Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am Vayechal Elokim V'yom Hashvi'i Melachto Asher Asav Vayishbot V'yom Hashvi'i Mekom Melachto Asher Asav Vayevarech Elokim Et Yom Hashvi'i Vayekadesh Oto Kivo Shabbat Mekom Melachto Asher Asav. The entire paragraph of Kiddush is built around this phrase. Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am. You can't leave anything out. If you leave anything out of the story of creation, is it included or not included, then this sentence makes no sense. Bereshit bara Elokim et haShemayim ve'et haAretz, vayechulu haShemayim ve'aretz v'chol tzva'am.
All of its contents, everything.
So everything. All of existence. All of existence is the tzava of Shemayim ve'aretz. Now it's an interesting way of referring to creation. Vayechulu haShemayim ve'aretz. We could have stopped there. Correct? Look at the structure of creation. Bereshit, bara Elokim et haShemayim ve'et haAretz. Entire first perek. Perek bet begins. Vayechulu haShemayim ve'aretz. Vayevarech Elokim et yom haShvi'i. Or vayishbot yom haShvi'i b'mekom melachto. That would have been perfect symmetry. And yet the pasuk says, Vayechulu haShemayim ve'aretz. So, David, you translated that as all of its contents. Or is that what we said before? All of its contents, everything that's there? Somebody translated. Both in Shemayim and in Art. So why use the word Tzva? Why not just say Vayechulu haShemayim va'aretz V'chol ha'shebo? Why v'chol tzva'am? Why the word tzva? So, in its simplest meaning, the word tzva means what? We use it for an army, but not exclusively an army. Right? We have, for example, the reference to in Bamidbar. I gave you the source here. Miben chamishim shana yeshuv mitzva ha'avoda. We're referring to the Levium in the Beis Hamikdash. So they'll work from 30, whatever the age is, 30 to 50, and then from 50 and on, Yashuv Mitzvah Avada. They're not in an army, they're in service of the Beis Hamikdash. And yet they're called Tzva HaAvoda. Tzva HaMilchama Azizi. Vayiktzof Moshe Pekudei Achayel Salei Alefim V'Salei Meot Habaim Mitzva HaMilchama. Tzva HaMilchama means an army. Tzva HaAvodah is a group that is like a union. Right? It's a group that is employed to do a particular task or job, like the Levium and the Beis HaMikdash. So from those two applications, meaning it's not just a military application, it's a Sarah Avodah is certainly not military. What derivation or application can we refer to in the word tzava that we can then go back to and apply to the story of creation? Guardian or protector would work for an army. I'm not sure it would work for a hosts of workers or laborers. Tzva ha'avodah.
Depends what work they're doing.
Okay, maybe, but possibly. I'm not sure how that would be applicable to Shemayim Ba'aretz. What is it about an army that is unique? Excuse me?
It's disciplined.
It's disciplined. And that's very true. It's disciplined. It's a group of individuals who come together, at least in theory, at least in good armies, militaries that work properly. And it's a group of individuals who come together for the purpose of excuse me?
Common goal.
Common goal, common purpose, common mission. When we refer to in the Tefillah of Natana Tokef, and we describe God judging each individual, Gemara says, Kol Am Ovim Lefanav Ki Bnei Maron, like sheep. So the Gemara has three different definitions of what Bnei Darom are. And one of them is Ki Chayalot Beit David. Like the soldiers in David's army. So what is Kechayalot Beit David? So the Mefarshim explain that all of the soldiers are judged individually, meaning each man of Israel is judged individually, but the difference between an individual and a chayal is that a chayal is an individual but very much part of a group. You can't take the chayal out of the group. The chayal works within the context of a unified whole. So even though each individual is looked at, but you can't distinguish between one individual and another because they're all operating in unison with a common goal and purpose. That's a tzeva. That's a good tzeva. Tzeva ha'avodah, the labor force of the mikdash in this particular case, but I think it could be referred to any labor force that is unified in purpose and goal and mission. So from that perspective, if I go back to the creation of the world, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz, vayuchulu ha-shamayim ve'aretz v'chol tzva'am. Tzva isn't just a collection of all of the items that exist in the world. It's a collection of all of the items that exist in the world in an orderly, systematic fashion. It's a tzva. And it's tzva, everything has its place. Everything has its place, everything has its location, everything has its purpose. Nothing is, except for military bureaucracy, but nothing is redundant. Everything serves the common goal, the common mission. It's a unifying factor. So maybe that's the reference here by Kiddush, which is important. When we say Kiddush, we should know, we have to have kavanah to what we're saying. Vayechulu ha-shamayim va'aretz. It's also a mispronunciation of the first word. It's not Vayechulu, it's Vayechulu. The accent is Vayechulu ha-shamayim va'aretz v'chol tzva'am. Now, if that's the case, if we work off that assumption that the concept of a tzva is that it unites together individual items to a common goal or purpose, then, as we begin to explore the other applications of the word tzva, it may help us understand what they are referring to. So, for example, let me just one more reference. This notion that tzva refers to both the contents of shamayim va'aretz as an all totally global concept appears once in all of Tanakh. You understand what I'm suggesting?
Here?
That's it. The only place you'll find in all of Tanakh that the word Tzavah is referred to the contents of the world in total, Shemaim and Aretz, is here in Bereshit Perek Bet. It's the first place and the only place.
Because Hashem's only first thing that can have the whole world.
Well, we haven't gotten to Hashem yet. We started from the end, we're working our way backwards. So we started from Hashem Tzavot. But before we get to Hashem Tzavot, we're starting from the beginning of Chumash. And there the reference to Tzavah is to the entire physical contents of creation. That which God created for 6 days, Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am. On the seventh day, Vayechal Elokim B'yom Hashim Mikom Malachto. But what we do have scattered throughout both Chumash and the Tanakh is a reference to Tzva Hashemayim. So, for example, in Perek Dalet, in Tvarim Perek Dalet. This is a prohibition against idolatry. And in the prohibition against idolatry, the pasuk says, lest you lift up your eyes to the heavens and see what? The sun, the moon, the stars, v'chol tzva hashamayim. So there the reference is to?
Celestial beings.
Right, celestial entities, meaning stars, constellations, anything that you see in the heavens, visibly. Because we're talking about Avodah Zarah, so we're talking about the potential, the notion of sun worshipping, of worshipping the heavens, worshipping the constellations, seeing the constellations having power and authority over our lives, and therefore serving them, worshipping them, etc. A concept which in the Nevi'im, on the flip side, the Nevi'im fought against all the time, but you see it in phrases such as in Yeshayahu, Su'u Marom Enechem Ru'u. Lift up your eyes and to the heavens and see. Mi bara ele. Who created all of this? Go look at a starry night on a clear night when there are no lights around and there's no light pollution in the world. Right? And go look at the stars. Su marom enechem uru'u. Mi bara ele hamotzi b'mispar tzva'am l'chulam b'shem yikra. Who brings out the stars at night and gives each one a name. Mirov onim ba'amitz koach ish lo ne'eda. Or Tehillim idva Hashem shamayim na'asu v'ruch piv kol tzva'am. God created the heavens with His command and with His the wind of His mouth created all of their hosts. Again, a reference to tzva shamayim, or pasuk in Nechemia, which we say every day in Pesuk Adizimra. Ata Hashem levadacha ata asita ta shamayim shme Hashemayim v'chol tzva'am. And ha'aretz v'chol asher aleha hayamim v'chol asher bahem. So here's the contrast. Shemayim v'chol tzva'am, ha'aretz v'chol asher bo. Unlike in the first pasuk in Bereshit, which was Shemayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am, here it's Shemayim v'chol tzva'am, ha'aretz v'chol asher bo. That's why I said that the reference to Tzva'am is referring both to Shemayim and Aretz only appears once in Tanakh, but the notion of Tzva as a common theme, or Tzva Shemayim as a common theme, both as a potential for Avodah Zarah, Dvarim, as well as a reference to Shemayim, Vishmei Shemayim, to all of the hosts of all of the hosts of this of the heavens. That's one reference to Tzva Shemayim. There's another reference to Tzva Shemayim in a completely different context. So for example, in Malachim Aleph Perek Chav Bet Pasuk Yitet, it's an interesting story. This is a story about Yehoshaphat, I believe. Achav and Yehoshaphat. Yeah. The context there is a story of a united army or a united battle between Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehuda, and Achav, Melech Yisrael. They join forces at one point or another to fight against their common enemy, one of the empires in the region. I think it's Aram. And there, at some point, that's the battle. It's the first war after the story of Kerem Nevot, of the vineyard where Achav allows Yezebel to go and kill the owner of the vineyard so that he can, by framing him for treason. And the law of the land at the time was, if a person is executed for treason, then the king confiscates the land. Right? He desired the Kerem. It's a whole story in Perichov Aleph. The result of which is that Eliyahu decrees his famous declaration, Haratzachta v'gam yirashta, you can't commit murder and then take the land, you can't get away with this, and you will die in battle. And after all the years of Achav, he dies in the next battle, which is this battle with teamed up with Yehoshaphat. So there the pasuk says, Vayoma, at one point in this story, the Yehoshaphat says to Achav, before you go to war, you should find out if the Nevi'im sanction this battle. So they call over one of the Nevi'im and they said, "No, is this battle sanctioned? And he says, yes. Well, all the Nevi'im Sheker are saying, of course you should go. And he calls over one of the Nevi'im Emet and he says, yes, you should go. And he said, don't lie to me. And he says, well, I'll tell you the truth. And the truth is, tells him a story. The story is that he sees in a vision God discussing with his entourage of Malachim who is going to cause Achav to fall in battle. Let's take a look at this. It's actually a really interesting pasuk. Take a look at this in context. Malachim Aleph Perek Bet.
Which pasuk?
It's Perek Chaf Bet, starting with if they're talking to a Navi by the name of Michael. We really have to start from the beginning of the story. Start with Pasuk Vav. Vayikbotz Melech Yisrael et haneviim ka'arbamiot ish. Melech Yisrael gathered together all of his neviim, approximately 400. Neviyei Habal. Vayomer alehem ha'elech al Ramot Gilad lemelchamayim mechdal. He asked him the question, should I go to fight in Ramot Gilad? Ramot Gilad is this battle that's about to take place where Achav eventually will fall in battle. Vayomru, what did the Nevi'ei Habal say? Alei. Go ahead. Viten Hashem b'yad ha'melech. God should make your campaign successful. Vayomru Yehoshaphat, ha'ein po Nevi la'Hashem od v'nidrasha mi'oto. Says Yehoshaphat, who for whatever reason understood that these were Nevi'im who were not to be trusted, he says to Melech Yisrael, he says, don't you have another one, a real Navi? Don't you have a real So he says, Vayomer Melech Yisrael, Yehoshaphat, od ish echad lidrosh et Hashem mi'oto v'anis netiv. There's one more, but I don't like him. Ki lo yitnebe alai tov kimra. Because he never says nice things about me. He only says bad things about me. So I don't like him. But Michayo ben Yimla, that's his name, Michayo ben Yimla. Vayomer Yehoshaphat al yomar ha-melech kein, vayikra ha-melech Yisrael. So the Yehoshaphat says, don't say such things. If he's a loyal Navi, then you have to listen to what he says. They call him up. They draft him into this mission. And anyway, in the meantime, there's a little parenthetical aside where the messenger who goes to get Michayu and bring him to the king, on the way says to him, Michayu, do me a favor. All of the other Nevi'im are saying, go to this campaign. Toe the line. Make sure you speak party line. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yamalach asher alach lekro Michayu. This malach who was sent to bring Michayu, this messenger, diber lav lemor hinena divrei hanevi'im pe achad tov el ha-melech. All of the Nevi'im unanimously are speaking good things to the king. Yehina divarcha kidvar achad mehem v'dibarta tov. You speak as they speak. You say what they say. You toe the line. Vayomer Michayu chay Hashem ki et asher yomar Hashem elai oto adaber. Says Michayu, I will speak that which God says to speak, and nothing more and nothing less. So vayavo al ha-melech, vayomer ha-melech elav, Michayu, anelech al ramot gilad ha-mechamayim nechtal, Michayu, should we go to war, should we not go to war? Vayomer alav, what does Michayu say to him? Alei ve'atzlach, v'natan Hashem b'yad ha-melech. Go and be successful, may God be with you. Yomer elav ha-melech, at kama pamim ani mashbi'echa shelo tedaber elai rak at emet b'shem Hashem? Says the king, hey, that doesn't sound like you. You speak, don't tell me party line. You tell me what the real message is. So he says, oh, you want the real message? I'll give you the real message. Vayomer ra'iti et kol Yisrael nefotzim al ha'arim katzon asher en lehem ro'eh. I see the sheep of Israel scattered on the hills like a flock without a shepherd. Why are they a flock without a shepherd? Who's the shepherd?
The king.
The king. Why are they going to be a flock without a shepherd? Because the king is going to die in battle. That's what I really see. Vayomer Hashem lo adonim le'ele yeshuvu ish levito b'shalom. They don't have a master, they all go home. Vayomer melech Yisrael Yehoshaphat halo amarti alecha lo yitnebe alai tov ki imra. So Achav turns to Yehoshaphat and he says, didn't I tell you this guy's a troublemaker? He's going to say only negative things. So then the Navi says, okay, you really want the true story? I'll give you the true story. You want the full picture? I'll give you the full picture. Vayomer lechen shema dvar Hashem. Ra'iti et Hashem yoshev al kiso. In my vision, what I saw was God sitting on his throne. V'chol tzva ha-shamayim omed alav mimino mismalo, surrounded by his army. Tzva ha-shamayim, right and left. And he says to his army, who are his army? Who are tzva ha-shamayim in this case? The malachim, the angels. I'm looking for a malach who will go and entice Achav to go to war so that he will fall on the hills of Ramot Gilad. Each one is saying, oh, let's try this and let's try this. Until the Ruach comes and says to God, I will succeed. I will trick Achav into going into battle and falling on Ramot Gilad. And he says, how? I will go and I will be a false message in the mouth of all his Nevi'im, and he will go and to Achav, and to Ramot Gilad, and there he will fall. And so God says to him, go. That's a cute little story. But in it is embedded an interesting phrase, which is Tzva Hashemayim. So Tzva Hashemayim has a whole different meaning here. Whereas Tzva Hashemayim, which we saw before, B'dva Hashem Shemayim Na'asu V'liyoch Piv Kol Tzva'am Ta'asita Ta Shemayim Mishmei Hashemayim V'chol Tzva'am, is a reference to the stars, the constellations, the bodies of the heavens. Tzva Hashemayim here refers to the angels, Malach, the army in the heavens. There's an army, there's a tzava that exists in the heavens. That army is manned by, is led by God. And that too appears in many references in Tanakh. We have it, for example, in Tehillim, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. We say it every day in Shemon, in Pesukah de Zimra, Hallelujah, Tashem, Mina Shemaim, Hallelujah, Bamiromim. Look at the two phrases. Hallelujah, Kol Malachav, Hallelujah, Kol Tzva'av. Hallelujah, Shemesh V'Yareach, Hallelujah, Kol Kochve'or. See the dual, the two phrases? On the one hand, you have the Malachim, the Tzva HaShemayim, and on the other hand, you have the Shemesh, the Yareach, and the Kochavim. So clearly, the Tzva in that context is not the heavens and it's not the sun and the moon and the stars, it's the Malachim. We had this discussion once when, we've had it many times, but we had it in the context of Sefer Yehoshua. If you remember, in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, Yehoshua is standing in the entrance to Yericho, and he's about to go in, and he sees an image, he sees a vision of a man standing with a sword. And he says to this man standing with the sword, Halanu ata im litzarenu. Are you friend or foe, for us or against us? So what does the man, what does the man answer? He says, Lo, ki ani sar tzva Hashem. What does sar tzva Hashem mean? So the simple pshat, which is the Radak's pshat, is ani malach Hashem, I'm an angel. And sar tzva Hashem means sar tzva Hashem, sar tzvot ma'ala. This hosts of angels, this army of angels that the Ribbono Shel Olam controls, is literally an army. It's an army of malachim. And at the head of an army belongs a sar. And therefore, sar tzva Hashem, this army of God, of malachim, is headed by this chief malach of the angels. The Dr. then continues to have a whole discussion about which Malach it is, Gabriel, Michal, what's his name? But the notion that he is Sar Tzva Hashem, Tzivot Mala, or Tzvaot Mala, the hosts of heaven. So if it's top, stop for a second, just think about it. The same word used to describe the heavenly bodies, Tzvaot, Shemayim B'chol Tzva'am, is used to describe Tzva Shemayim in the context of the Malachim. What is the common denominator between the notion of Tzva Shemayim referring to the stars and the constellations and Tzva Shemayim referring to the Malachim? It's the same word, the same phrase, there has to be a common theme that connects them.
Plentiful.
Well, true, we don't know how many malachim there are. The stars are a symbol of plentifulness, that's true. But for that, you wouldn't necessarily refer to them as a tzava.
We have a cup of water. Well, how would you refer to them as a tzava?
What is the characteristic of a tzava that would operate here?
They all appear at the same time together at night.
Right, the stars all appear at the same time. Sun, moon, stars, and tzvaot. Chol tzvaam. Let's call them sun, moon, stars, and constellations. What do they have in common? Why refer to the bodies of heaven as Tzva'am? Hamotzi b'mispar Tzva'am l'chulam b'shem Yikra. What's the pasuk in Yeshayahu? It takes out the stars at night by number and gives them each a name. If you give something a name, what does that mean?
Individual.
Right? Individuality, right? We have but individuality, but also, what else do you, when you give something a name, what do?
Recognize its
being. What's the first story we have in Chumash about Adam HaRishon? Before Gan Eden.
Gives everything a name.
Right. Takes everything that exists around him and he gives them a name. And then he can find an Adam lo matza ezer kenegdo. Why is it so important to tell us that Adam HaRishon is giving everything a name?
Ownership.
Ownership. Control. And or, when you give something a name, what does it mean? Why do we call things by names? Why don't we just say thingamajig, thingamajig? By giving something a name, by saying this is a chair, what have I done?
It has a purpose.
Right. I've defined its purpose. You give something a name, you define its purpose. You recognize its existence, you recognize its value, and its purpose. If everything in Adam's life has a name, everything has a purpose and a role to play. When the Navi describes the Kadosh Baruch Hu bringing the stars out at night, there are many stars. There are so many stars you think that they're irrelevant, they're redundant. Why do you need so many stars? Says the Navi, he brings out every star, b'mispar, numbered, v'luchulam sh'beshem yikra, and he names everyone. So that every single star, every single constellation, in all of its magnitude and multitude, serves a single common purpose. Single common purpose makes them into a
tzava.
Tzava Hashemayim. Why are the malachim called tzava Hashemayim?
Same thing. They all have a purpose. They all have a name and a purpose.
Right. A malach has a name and it has a mission. A malach only has one mission, and it's, why do we keep referring to the same malachim with the same names? Gavriel, Michal, because they're not names of individual malachim, they're names of purpose. Malachim, it's hard to even describe malachim as existing beings. It's a mechanism by which Hashem's ratzon, Hashem's will is implemented in the world, is what a malach is. So Tzva Shemaim, the malachim of Shemaim fulfill God's will. They're not even creatures of choice. They have no choice. Of course, they're created to fulfill God's will. So that's Tzva Shemayim. They're an entity of spiritual, whatever the malachim are, that are designed to work individually or in tandem as a group to fulfill God's will and to implement God's will in the world. That's what unifies them into a single Tzva. Tzva Shemayim. What's interesting, this is an aside before we go to the last two pieces, that this connection between Tzva Shemayim referring to the Malachim and Tzva Shemayim referring to the heavenly bodies that serve God's singular, serve a singular purpose in God's will, is at one and the same time the source of the deepest emuna in Kadosh Baruch Hu, who created the world, is master of the world, controls the world to every last fine detail. It's also the source of the greatest idolatry. To paraphrase a phrase from the Kuzari, Shorosh HaEmunah Hu Shorosh HaMeri, the very source of our emuna in God who created the heavens, Tzva HaShemayim, is our source of our idolatry and heresy, because if the heavenly bodies are an army that fulfill a purpose, that serve, that act in a manner in which they fulfill a ratzon in the world, are they acting independently or are they acting dependently? In other words, they're unified into, we look at the stars, we look, but at the same time, the Pasuk in Chumash says, don't look up to the heavens and the sky and serve them, because it was very tempting. It's very tempting to look at the sun and the moon and the sources of life. Right? The sources of the sun is a source of life. The water is a source of life. All ancient pagan idolatries served that which they saw as the source of life. If the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations were perceived to be the heavenly bodies governing the world, directing the world, then that's who you served. So the very same sense that the heavenly bodies speak about or serve God's Ratzon is the same source of the potential for paganism and for idolatry. We say it in the Brach of Kiddush Levana. It's all discussion we had about the Nusach of the Brach of Kiddush Levana. Pa'al emes shupulasa emes. Or pa'alei emes shupulasa. There's all discussion in that regard too. All right, we have only a few minutes left. Let's go to the next piece. The third. So what have we seen? We've seen the word tzva referring to all existence. Shemayim v'aretz v'chol tzvaam. We saw tzva shemayim referring to both the stars and the malachim, and the potential to see stars as malachim, which is the source of avodah zarah, versus the recognition that the stars are part of the world of nature that God created and does God's bidding, and the malachim who implement God's bidding in a more direct application of the world around us. The third application of the word tzva in Tanakh is probably the easiest to understand, and that is the notion of a physical army. But in this case, it is also a reference to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael are referred to as God's army. And that's a remarkable phrase. It only starts. What's the first time we find Bnei Yisrael referred to as Hashem's tzava? Yetziat Mitzrayim. As we leave Egypt, not as individuals but as a nation, we enter onto the stage of history. As we enter onto the stage of history, we become God's army. Pasuk Shmuel Perek Zayin. V'lo yishma alechem paro v'natati et yadi b'mitzrayim v'hotzeiti et tzivotai et ami b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. I will take out my hosts, my legions, my armies, who are whom? Ami b'nei Yisrael. And this theme repeats itself several places in Yetziat Mitzrayim. Yishmatem et hamatzot kibetzem hayom hazeh hotzeiti et tzivotechem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Or perhaps the most dramatic one, which is in Shmot Perek Yudbet, Pasuk Mem Aleph, Vayhi miketz 30 shana ve-400 shana, Vayhi be'etzem hayom hazeh, Yatzu kol tzivot Hashem me'eretz Mitzrayim. 430 years later, all of the tzivot Hashem, the hosts of God, the army of God, left Mitzrayim. Why would we refer to Bnei Yisrael as Tzivot Hashem? So there's two contexts here that are important to point out. Number one, if we follow the same thing we've been working with since the beginning, Shemayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am, Tzva Shemayim referring to stars, Tzva Shemayim referring to Malachim, and now Tzivot Hashem referring to Bnei Yisrael, what would be the implication? Right, that we are united, we have been pulled together for a singular purpose. That purpose being to be God's people, God's chosenness, the segula of Bnei Yisrael. Hine v'atemti yuli mamlechat kohanim v'goy kadosh. Am segula mikol ha'amim. The whole notion of the chosenness, the whole notion of the purpose of Bnei Yisrael. Am zu yatzarti ti lati yaseperu. I created this nation to speak my praise. The notion that we have a common goal and common purpose, and that purpose expressed at Matan Torah and Naaseh v'nishma is to fulfill Ratzon Hashem, exactly as we have in the Tzva Shemayim, and as we have it in the context of creation itself. So the notion of referring to Bnei Yisrael at the moment that they enter onto the arena of history as Tzivaot Hashem puts him into the category of Tzivaot Hashem of the Malachim, Tzivaot Hashem of the Shemesh Shemirach of Kochavim, and Tzivaot Hashem in terms of creation itself. And if I combine these two ideas, they merge two very different images of Ratzon Hashem. One is Ratzon Hashem as it is reflected in nature, the unified, singular expression of godliness through the world of nature and its drama as it unfolds in the heavens every day. That's one aspect of Ratzon Hashem. And the other is the notion of God's will as it is expressed in the domain of history, mastering and managing and directing history on a daily basis, as expressed through the role of the Malachim in the world, and through the unified effort of Klal Yisrael to fulfill the Torah, to fulfill Ratzon Hashem in that regard. Put them together, and what do you get? Put them together, and what you get is the expression Hashem Tzvaot. And that's really what I think you've got in this notion, that Chanukah coins a phrase that refers to a new name of God, Hashem Tzvakot, or Hashem Tzvaot. In it reflecting, in Chana's world, two distinct themes. Right, think about Chana's tefillah and her neder. What's she asking for? She's asking for God to intervene into the world around her, into the world of history, into the world of man, to emerge, to express that intervention in the world, to recognize the Tzva Hashem of Klal Yisrael of Bnei, so that we can fulfill that mission. Hashem Tzvaot, God who masters the hosts of Israel, who is the master of the kings of Israel, of the people of Israel. Hashem of Tzvaot Yisrael. That's the God of history. And what is Tefillat Chana about? Go back to her Tefillah of Thanksgiving. What's the major theme of her Tefillah of Thanksgiving? In Perek Bet.
That Hashem is in charge of everything.
Right. That Hashem is in charge of everything. That Hashem directs history. That Hashem raises up and makes low. And that Hashem mimit, mechayeh, Hashem richa ovayal. Hashem sends down. That everything that happens, that all turns of history, that all trajectories in history can be transformed in an instant. Wars can be upturned. Armies can be overturned. God is a God of war, God is a God of mastery, he's a God of nature, he's a God of circumstances, everything revolves around God. The unification, the unified vision, that ultimately everything comes back to Yad Hashem in the world, that's Chana's Tefillah. That's the novelty of Chana's Tefillah, that's the novelty of Hashem Tzvot. Whether it be on the battlefield, or whether it be in commerce, or in economy, or whether it be in having a child or giving birth to a child in the world. Every aspect of life is governed by that unified vision of Hashem's hand in the world. That's her contribution. And I think ultimately that's what she brings to this idea when she combines all of these ideas into a new name for Hashem. She actually coins a name. She says Hashem Tzvaot means Tzva Yisrael, Hashem of Tzvaot Yisrael, Malchot Yisrael, Hashem of Tzva Shemayim, Hashem of Tzva Shemayim of Kochavim, Hashem of Elokei Hashemayim, Vayichulu Hashemayim, Baretz V'chol Tzva'am. All of this is expressed in the godliness of everything around us, from nature to man, from creation to history. From Vayichulu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am to Tzivaot Hashem and Tzivaot Yisrael, Hashem Tzivaot Mefaked, Hashem Tzivaot Elokei Yisrael. So I think we will stop here, but I wanted to to share with you the sort of walkthrough of the phrase of Hashem Tzvaot, because I think ultimately what Chana does when the Gemara says that she coins this phrase is it's not a name of God that she coins. It's a perspective. It's a unifying, to borrow a term from physics, it's a unifying theory. That whether it be nature or history or Israel's role or the Malachim's role, all of the different components of what Tzva means, Yisrael v'arayta v'kutche b'richu chadu. It all merges with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. It all integrates into one entity of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Hashem is Hashem Tzvot. He is the God of hosts. He is the God of history. He is the God of nature. He is the God of creation. He is the God of Israel. He is the God of divine providence, the individual and of the nation, and of everything that goes on. That's what Hashem Tzvot means. We will stop here for now.